turn over, I'll ask you if you would turn over the book of John, about the 8th chapter. I tell you, I don't even feel, never do, worthy to stand at all. Just feel like, what a failure. Just this week, I feel like I've been. Just really do, Darrell. And I say it all the time. I know me better than anybody. And just feel like we're just a failure, just to be honest. But don't feel at all worthy of standing to open God's Word before you. But I'm thankful that it's through His blood that anything is made worthy. It's through Him that anything, anybody, is made able to be a vessel of honor. Within ourselves, we can do nothing. And I'm thankful it's that way. But I desire your prayers this morning. Again's turned over to the 8th chapter of the book of John. If you'll bear with me, I'm going to read just a little bit, and you don't have to turn there, over in the 8th chapter of the book of Luke. And I think we're all familiar with where I'm getting ready to read, where the Lord had come up on this Gadarene man that was filled with all the unclean spirits. But I just feel led maybe just to read where Jesus come up to this man. And just read maybe a verse or two, and then we'll turn over to John with you there. But in the 8th chapter of the book of Luke, in about the 30th verse, it said, "And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him." And that's as far, honestly, as I feel led to read right there in the book of Luke. But I want you to think about the question God asked this man: What is thy name? And I'm going to take my time to try to mind the Lord this morning with the things that's on my heart. That's a question that God's wanting to ask this morning. What's your name? I know we sing a song, "He Knows My Name." And this morning, that's not how this message came to me through that song, but the Lord started dealing with my heart. And I want us to understand this morning before we leave just how much He knows our name. Just how much He knows who we are. Before He ever asked Legion that day, "What's your name?" He knew him. He knew on the way over, on the ride, on the ship, on the way over the sea, He knew He was going to encounter that man. And He knew his name, Darrell. But He asked him that question: "What is your name?" And I'm going to tell you, before we ever showed up at church this morning, the Lord knowed who was going to be here. The Lord knowed everyone that'd be sitting here in this congregation this morning. Everybody that might hear it through this recording on this thing here. God knows where you're at, and He knows who you are. But He's going to ask you, "What's your name?" He wants each one of us to answer for ourselves. And as we say that, bear with us. We'll read just a little bit right here. In the 8th chapter of the book of John, and read down for just a little bit here. Very familiar also, this scripture here, no doubt. But I'll start in the first verse. He said, "Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning He came again into the temple, and all the people came unto Him, and He sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting Him, that they might have to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down, and with His finger wrote on the ground, as though He heard them not. So when they continued asking Him, He lifted up Himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst." And Jesus, when Jesus had lifted up her, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." And I want to stop right there and think just a minute on this scripture. We see there how that Jesus was a teaching, and he was a bringing knowledge unto these people of His grace, His mercy. And then we understand how that these Pharisees and these scribes, they wasn't bringing someone to Him to find help for that person. They weren't bringing this lady there to get her help or to allow Him to be glorified because He helped someone. They were bringing this woman there to be able to accuse Him and to be able to acknowledge her and shame her before everyone else. And in that, I want you to understand and think about today, how do each one of us come to the house of God? Do we come in here bringing something, Darrell, that we can find accusation against the Lord? Do we come in here looking at everyone else's lives so that we can find some shame on them? How do we sit today before the Lord? Because just like every one of these men and this woman, they sat and stood before the Lord. In the presence of Jesus Christ Himself, they stood there. And He didn't audibly come out and ask them what He did legion. He didn't come out and say, "What's your name?" in an audible fashion. But in His words and in His actions, He asked each one of them, "What's your name?" And in that, the way that this was brought out to them is the same way God's doing today in the house of God, Isaac. He's asking each one of us who we are. He brought this forth, they brought this woman out there to Him, and He asked a question of them. He said, let the man that's without sin cast the first stone at her. We can come into the house of God, and our language, you can look at Connolly, and you can probably find things there. I can look at Gina, I can find things there that I could find wrong with that person. In a manner where I could say, "Lord, what are you going to do with them?" I can pick you apart, I'll be honest with you. I can within myself, I can find judgment on your life a whole lot easier than mine. But how is the Lord going to see us? The Bible said that them men, when they were asked this question, I want you to understand this very clearly. He said, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." You want to know what the Spirit and the Word of God will do when we come in here in that kind of attitude? If it's preached in the right spirit and it's brought through the true Word of God, it won't listen to your questions. It won't listen to your accusations, but it'll pose a question in your life. And that's exactly what God done. You can come in here, and I'll be honest, I've had people come to me as pastor, and when I've been a deacon before at Bethesda Missionary Baptist Church, Darrell, I had people coming to me, "What you going to do about this? Did you know this was happening? What are you going to do about it?" And I'm afraid that's how we come into the house of God half of the time. "Did you know what's going on in Julian's life? What you going to do about it, Lord?" And we ain't doing no different than what they done with this little woman. Look, she's caught right in the very act of adultery. What are you going to do with her? We got a lot of houses of God today throwing everybody up in the front of the church. But I'm going to tell you what God will do from the pulpit. He'll put a question right back at you. What are you doing with God? What is your name? He asked old Legion that, and he said, "Legion, for he had many devils
in his life. And he posed the question right back at these men.
He asked them what their name was. Said it again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted. Understand what convicted is. I'll read you definition, you know I will. Proved or determined to be guilty. Here men was that brought this woman caught in the very act of sin. And yes, it's sin. I'm not here to deny or try to divert anything away from what sin is. But I want you to understand, there's sin in every one of our lives. It's easy to pick it out somewhere else and throw it up right in front of everybody. But what about when it comes to your house? What about when God starts convicting and showing you where you're guilty? Boy, that's when what they say, the rubber meets the road, ain't it? When it turns around our lane and you ain't looking at nobody else. Lean, you ain't finding fault in David's life. And God says, where are you at? Each of these
were convicted, found guilty by their own conscience.
And here's where the Lord really got me to pondering on some things. What is your conscience? You know what that is? Your conscience is knowledge of our own actions or thoughts. Now I want to say this to you. You know what a name is? A name is reputation, character, and it says a good name or a bad name. That's what a name is. That's your reputation, that's your character. In other words, that's what you're known by. I'm trying my best to be as clear as I can this morning, and I'm going to take my time if God will allow it. And He will. I can say Conley Freeman, and everybody knows Conley Freeman. I can go out here and I can say, do you know Conley Freeman that goes down there to the church? Yeah, he used to work for CPNL. I know Conley. He lives over here. I know Conley. He farms. I know Conley. And everybody will know about the person, Conley Freeman. I'm just picking Conley, and he knows I'm not picking on him. But I'm just using his natural name. That's how we're known in this world. The Bible said that Proverbs over there. Bear with me just a minute. I know this is probably familiar, but I'm going to read it. In 22:1, a good name is rather, and we went over rather Wednesday night. That's something that's preferred. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. So what do you think? Most of us wants a good name, Bobby. We prefer to have a good name. And we take great strides if there's anything about us to keep a good name in the community, don't we? To keep a good name wherever we're at. That's rather to be chosen than great riches.
Each one of these men brought this lady before the Lord, and they didn't want their name shamed, but they were sure willing to shame hers. They were sure willing to tie her down.
But when the Lord found guilt in their house, where did He find it? In their conscience. In their own thoughts, their own knowledge of who they truly were. What is a name? Who we're known by, Darrell. You know what the Lord don't do? He don't look and say, Shandy, she's an RN. He don't look and say, Erlene, Mike Ball's wife. He looks down at the thoughts and the intents and the knowledge that we have of our own true life. That's our name.
with God. When he asked, Legion, who are you? Legion had to be honest with him. I've got many devils. I've got many evil things about me. What good would it have done in the life of God? God knew him. God knew what he was full of before he ever got to him. This morning, before he ever came to this church, before God ever got you up out of bed this morning, he knows your name. He knows your conscience. He knows your thought. He knows the knowledge that you've got about the true you. Who wants that open up before the church this morning? I don't. But you know what? There's no denying that he knows my name. He knows who I am. We can hide those things from every other person, but God knows. And what did he do to these men? He convicted them in their own conscience. They weren't able anymore. Why, before God spoke to them, Darrell, they could have picked up a stone and they could have just killed that woman right there at his feet. Bible said godly sorrow worketh unto repentance. But I'm going to tell you what, when God convicted them, Isaac, instead of repenting, they left. Instead of, see, where did the woman go? She was found guilty. She was right there at his feet. But where did the men go? They left one by one. Convicted, found guilty by their own name. If you'll have it. And as they left, I thought on this, they left from the eldest to the youngest. Wonder why that might have been. Further I go in this life, Darrell, the more sin I accumulate. The more guilt I accumulate. Don't you reckon them that left the quickest didn't want to admit the most sin in their life? They wanted to get out of the presence of God, and instead of being found guilty and getting pardoned by the Savior, they chose to leave and keep trying to hide the sin. They didn't want their true name ever mentioned in the presence of everybody else, because they was ashamed. But here was a woman that was open in her sin. Each one of them, I want you to understand this too. They said this woman was caught in the very act. The very act. In other words, there's no denying that they had found her guilty and that she was guilty in the eyes of God. And you know how they got found that day? In the very act. And they chose to turn and leave the only hope that they could have. But ain't God so wonderful? I love this story. Here's a woman that's truly guilty. Here's a woman that's found that way. When everybody else left, he said that he was alone with this woman. She knew there was no other place to go. You know where we got to get before we can get help with God? We got to be found guilty. And we've got to have our name called. And we've got to stay right there as feet. Until he looks down and says, where's your accusers? This woman didn't see those men no more. Darrell, her eyes wasn't fixed on the natural man as her accuser, as the one that was going to pass judgment on her. You want to know a lot of times what holds people back from the altar? And it's no excuse, but it's what we use The same thing that kept them men from staying with Jesus. They didn't want nobody else to think bad of them. To know truly what they were. But this woman stayed. She lost sight of every other person around her. Let me tell you what God will do when you truly want salvation, when you truly want forgiveness. He'll take your eyes off of everybody else. He'll take your eyes off of every other thing around you, and all you'll see is Him. And when He looks down and He says, "Who condemns you? Where's the accusers?" You say, "I don't see nobody but me." She knew what she was. She knew just as well as those men the penalty for her sin. She knew that if she got stoned, she was deserving of it. But the Lord looked down, and the Bible, I love it, He said, He came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He didn't look down and say, "You filthy adulteress. You nasty woman. Get out of my sight." He didn't look down and say that. He said, if they don't condemn you, neither do I. Go and sin no more. You get everybody else out of your sight. Quit worrying about what everybody else thinks and worry about what God thinks. You know what He'll do? He'll forgive you. But you know what He's got that comes along with that forgiveness? A commandment. Go and sin no more. He wants us to strive to do right. When we repent, I said, godly sorrow worketh unto repentance. That's the book. True repentance is getting it fixed in your life and going on and trying to do better with the help of God. Read one more thing over here. Might be short this morning, but I'm going to mind God. It won't help a thing if I don't. Read over here in Ecclesiastes in just a minute. In the 7th chapter. We care a lot about our natural name. And that's what I want to get across today. It says there again in Ecclesiastes, "A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth." I love that scripture right there. I think on that so many times. Your death can be more precious than your birth.
Yes.
I got issued a name when I got born naturally in this life. And you know, one of these days, this old flesh is going to stand accountable for the name of Dean Rice. This old flesh is going to stand accountable for this sinful man. And the flesh is going to die and go back to the dust from whence it came. I've got a soul that got born again. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ, my soul does not have to stand accountable before God for the sins. My death is better than my birth.
Yes.
If that makes sense to you, I hope it does. A good name is more than precious. Ointments. A good name. Now, I'm not talking about your old physical person today. I'm talking about your spiritual name. Your conscience. That God knows and you know. And nobody else knows. What is your name this morning? Are you a born-again child of God? ready for heaven? Are you a lost sinner on your way to hell? I'm going to tell you, God knows your name. He knows what you are. And I said it at the beginning there before we started preaching. It's the most important thing is knowing where you're going after this life. This is different this morning. Yeah, it is. I hope it's very plain this morning. Because when you leave here, they sing the song on the right side. I'm going to tell you, you're going to be standing either on the right or the left. You're either going to face heaven or hell. It's not a big complicated kind of deciphering that the Lord will go through to figure out who's His and who's not. I thought about this as I was studying for the message. The Bible said never a man spake like this man. Wonder why, Darrell? Because he don't just say Darrell Woody. He don't just say Dean Rice. He speaks to my true name. My conscience. He speaks different than anybody else. The Bible lives known by their occupation. When they meet people, is what's your occupation? And today, that's how we know a lot of each other is by what we do in our natural person. But when God speaks, He wants to know what your spiritual name is. He's the only one that can speak to that. And when it comes down to life or death, He's going to look down and see if you've got the blood applied to your life. And know whether you've got a new name. Look down in glory. Know whether your name's in a white stone. And that's the name you call. I thought as he was going over to Jairus' daughter, everybody else looked and said, "She's dead. There's no sense." They mocked and laughed when he said, "She only sleepeth." They mocked at him. How many times does people look at some of the nastiest, filthiest sinners that there is in this world and says there ain't no hope? How many times do we treat people like they did that adulterous woman? How many times do we throw them down and just say they need to be stoned? They ain't of use to nobody. Quite often, we're done with people when they fail. Quite often, we're finished with them when they don't do what we think should be done. Do you know what the Lord did when He got in there to Jairus' daughter? He said, "Peter, John, you have come in here. Mama, Daddy, you have come in here with me." He wanted people surrounding him that believed in him. Yes. He wanted people surrounding him that knew when he spoke it was true. And you know what he done? He looked down there and he said, "Maid, arise." Never a man spake like that. He spoke deeper than anybody else could have had. Anybody else could have walked in there, Audrey, and they could have looked down there and they could have called that young lady's natural name and she'd still be laying there dead. Hey, but my God, my Jesus, He spoke deeper than anybody else could. You know, to know how this old thing you're looking at come to life one day? I was laying in my bed up in Robinson Cove dying on my way to hell. And Jesus come by and He said, "Son, arise." Lazarus was wrapped up in grave clothes and everybody around him said, "Surely he's stinking. He's nasty, Lord. What are we even doing down here? Lord, you're just about to make yourself look like you don't know what you're doing." That's what they was thinking. Who does he think he is to go down here to a tomb, to an old dead corpse, and go to speak into it? It gets me excited. It does. I'm glad I serve a God that can bring people back from the dead. How? Because He knows their name. As dead as they can be, as far gone as they can be,
When God speaks the name, they will come forth. Lazarus come forth. I preached the message on Lazarus down at Walnut Creek in revival. You know what the Lord done before He ever brought Lazarus out of that tomb? He said, roll the stone back. You know what? There's a job for me and you as born again children of God. There's a job, Darrell. The Lord showed me that in that message just as plain as anything I've ever seen. Before He called Lazarus' name, before He brought him out of there, He had a job for the church to do. Believe me enough to get to pushing on that stone. I'm going to tell you what, born again children of God, if you want your people saved, when God says get to pushing on the stone, get under it. Get to rolling it back. Don't set it back and say they stink. They're so far gone, there's no hope. Don't set back. Hey, we preached on faith Wednesday night. Where's our faith at? Hey, if God has promised the salvation of our people, get under the stone that's gone to hell in. Get to praying. All I can see when God let us preach that is every little old inch that stone moved back, the light of Jesus Christ shined into that dead tomb. When the church gets to where it needs to be, if we get to moving the stones out of our people's lives, the light starts shining into that dead place. Then what happens? The Lord will call them by name. And it won't take me and you. Mary and Martha could have went in there and they could have drug a dead man out of there. And they could have laid a dead man out there in front of everybody. And they could have tried to treat that dead man like he was still alive. But you know what he'd have been? A dead man. Darrell, I can go back here and I can drag our lost people out of a pew. You know what I'm doing? I'm dragging a dead person up here and I'm laying them on an altar. And then I try to raise them up and I try to call them alive. That don't work. You know what God will do? He'll use me if I will allow Him to help roll the stone out of the way. But when it comes time for that dead thing to come out of there, He'll call the name. Because He knows the name. You know how many times my Papa Lane's got drugged to an altar? More times than he can count. Because people wanted him saved and they tried to save him. You know when he got saved? Not when the family called his name, when God called him. Not when we saw something happen because we wanted it to, but when God made it happen because He knew the time. These things there I want to see happen. And if we ain't careful, we try to force them at a moment when it's not right. But when God calls the name, it's the right time. You know what they tried to do? And it's just by the way, like I say, I've seen a lot in this. You know what they tried to do to Legion? They bound him in fetters and chains. You know what he kept doing? Breaking. You know where he lived? In the tombs. Now a lot of them people might have been thought they were helping him. Because when he was broke loose, you know what he done? He cut himself. He lived naked. He lived miserable in the tombs. And maybe some of them people had compassion on him. Maybe some of them just hated to see him. Maybe they knew him as a young boy. Maybe they watched him grow up. How many of us in here has watched a child grow up from a young child and enter into sin and wallow around it in this life and they're living in misery, they're dead in the tombs and we try to bind them. We try to stop them and we try to do the work. And you know what they keep doing? They keep breaking loose. They keep running right back to the tombs. They keep getting right back down to cutting themselves. You know what we need to be doing? Sending for Jesus. We need to be rolling the stone back. We need to quit calling their natural names and let Him call their spiritual name. Let Him reach right down in there to their conscience. Let Him reach right down in there to their own knowledge and their own thoughts. We've got a saying going around today, and I probably mentioned it. I hear people say this until I'm sick of it. This person's going to tell their truth. Well, the Bible said that every man's ways is right in his own eyes, and I've got my own truth. And I can tell you my own truth. But you know what? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto me except by my Father. No man cometh to the Father except by me. So we can have our own truth. And we can tell ourselves all we want to. But you want to know what's going to bring us out of our dead state? The truth.
Yes.
The truth will speak down to your thoughts. The truth will speak down to your knowledge. And it'll know where you're at. And to be honest, you know them men that walked away from Jesus that day? They didn't have to walk up there and say, well, Lord, I've been with this woman. They didn't have to walk up there and say, Lord, I've had some bad things go on in my life, and I did this, and I did that. You know why? He knew. He knew before He ever told them to cast a stone at things without sin. He knew their sin. We don't expect you to come up here this morning and stand up and tell this church every bad thought you had this week, everything you've ever done. He just wants you to confess it to Him because He already knows. It ain't that hard. The devil's the one who tries to make it hard. Then men thought, what in the world will I have to face if I admit I've got sin in my life? So they found it easier to walk away. What does a lot of people do today in the house of God when God finds them guilty? When God gets right down into their conscience, what do? They find it easier to walk away than to admit. Do you know what the Bible says? The way of a transgressor is hard. What did He tell Saul over on the road to Damascus? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the bricks. He's telling you, Saul, you're hooked up. You ain't getting loose. See, that's what they done when they had a beast. They had it strapped to a cart or some type of a wagon, and they had them sharp pricks back there. And they, when it got to bucking, and guess what it was having to pull, and it went to kicking, them sharp pricks would go stabbing into it, and it got the feeling of pain. Saul thought, after he heard the gospel that Stephen preached, he could keep just going right on. And he thought, I'll just keep persecuting the church, I'll keep going the way I'm going. But you know what God had done over there that day that Stephen preached? God spoke Saul's name. God spoke to that man through the Spirit and the power of God through the preached word. How can they hear without a preacher? How can they preach except they be sent? God sent Stephen down there to preach a message. Not just for Paul to hear, but for everybody else. Some of them chose to go ahead and stone that man there that day. I read where they laid their coats at Paul's feet, but I don't read where he picked up a stone. He may have consented to it at that moment, but you know what happened to that man there that day at that stone? He couldn't pick up a stone because he knew he had sin in his life. He knew that he was not justified. And from that step on, down to the Damascus Road, he was kicking, he was fighting, and he was trying to go against what God was telling him was true. And his way got hard. And he got brought down on his knees on the road to Damascus, and he got blinded to everything. What did Paul do on the road to Damascus? He lost sight of everything around him. Just like this little adulterous woman,
he lost sight of everyone else around him. And he got led to God, didn't he?
By the Spirit. Led him down there to Ananias' house.
I'm going to tell you,
get your eyes off of everybody else this morning. Don't be thinking about what somebody else is doing in their life and how guilty they are and how much they deserve the wrath of God.
There's a lot of people just loves to see people get hurt. There's a lot of preachers just
strictly enjoys seeing people go through misery and pain. But you know what? God don't. Jesus don't. You know what he'd have loved to have happened there that day? It's for each of them men, from the eldest to the youngest, they fell down at his feet and said, "Lord, I'm just as guilty as you is. Lord, forgive me. Lord, don't condemn me. Lord, save me." You know what the Lord would love to happen here today? He'd love some lost soul to come to this altar and give their heart and life to him. And you know what he'd love to happen? He'd love a bunch of old hard-hearted Christians to fall right in behind her and say, "Lord, I've been just as guilty as that. Thank you, God, for saving me." The Lord wants repentance, church. And what's the least thing that goes on around church anymore? Repentance.
Yes.
It's very seldom anymore that anybody has to repent.
But if we will repent, if we'll get our lives right, we'll see some things happen in our people's lives.
I don't believe that, preacher. Well, I don't care whether you believe it or not. It's truth. You can tell yourself your own truth, or you can hear the truth. It's time for the church to get under the stones and get to rolling them back to where Jesus Christ can shine down into some dead places. And that one that we see, that we smell, and we think stinks so bad, he'll call that name and he'll bring them right up out of there.
There's hope in Jesus. And where can you go except to the Lord? You can put them in every rehab. You can set them down with every counselor they is.
And if the Lord don't do a work in their life, it ain't going to be done.
Turning over a leaf and getting saved is two different things.
Changing how you live and getting saved is two different things.
Them fellas might have walked away from her that day, and whatever God convicted them of, they may not have done it no more. But you know what they didn't do? They didn't come to him and ask him to forgive them for what they'd already done. They might have changed and thought, "He won't trip me up there again." What's your name this morning? And that's being asked by the Lord. Are you somebody full of a lot of devils, a lot of demons, and a lot of things in your life?
Are you that adulterous woman? Are you that scribe, that Pharisee,
that sits back and likes to shove everybody else at the feet of Jesus and never have to bow yourself?
I can tell you what, I don't know you. And I'm glad I don't.
But there's one that'll get down into the conscience. There's one that'll get down into the true knowledge and the true thoughts in my life and yours.
And he knows you. Adam and Eve tried to hide. What did he do? He kept calling their name, didn't he? They had sewed together fig leaves. They sewed together everything that was around them.
And they tried to hide. You think the Lord didn't know where they was?
But you know what he did? He didn't walk right in there where they was at and drag them out. He stood and asked them to come to him.
You know what the Lord's doing today?
He's calling your name. And he's wanting you to come to him.
I love you this morning.